This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The early bird gets nothing.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott J. Gal. For some people, filing taxes early might not do much good next year. I'm referring to people who fall under the Alternative Minimum Tax, or AMT. The AMT was created in 1969 and was aimed at very wealthy families, but it wasn't adjusted for inflation, so over the years it has gobbled up more taxpayers with upper-middle incomes. In the past, Congress has approved one-year fixes for the AMT, but it hasn't done so this year. John Dimsdale explains what's going on.
Lawmakers acknowledge the AMT is out of control, but there's little agreement on how to afford a $50 billion loss of AMT revenue. Iowa Republican Senator Charles Grassley doesn't see the need to replace the money at all.
These 19 million people that are going to get hit if we don't do something, they weren't supposed to be paying this tax anyway. So if they weren't supposed to be paying this tax anyway, how come it's a hole in our budget?
The IRS warns the congressional holdup will delay tax refunds next year. Deputy IRS Commissioner Richard Speier says it'll take 7 weeks to adopt any AMT changes.
If Congress were to act on the last day that they plan on being in session, which is December 21st, we do have an early peak of filers in early February. So we're talking about delaying millions of taxpayers' refunds.
Speier warns processing delays will be especially acute for paper returns. He recommends filing electronically. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
November was a downer on Wall Street until last week. The major indexes all added close to 3%. So the Dow begins December at 13,371. The NASDAQ starts out at 2660. The S&P 500 is at 1481. In Asia today, stocks were pretty flat. European shares are down 0.5%. NASDAQ is opening an office in Beijing. Bill Marcus tells us why that's a big deal.
NASDAQ had indirect access to China through offices in New York and London for more than a decade. But government regulators didn't even allow it to put up a sign when it was operating in Shanghai for 6 years before it closed its office in 2004. So opening an office in Beijing that's legally sanctioned by the Chinese government is a big step. NASDAQ Asian Managing Director Guan Shunshu says the office will allow it to publicly and openly woo Chinese companies. NASDAQ presently trades the shares of 52 Chinese companies with a combined market capitalization of $57 billion. Euronext, the parent of the New York Stock Exchange, said today it also plans to open an office in Beijing. That's expected to happen next week. In Shanghai, I'm Bill Marcus for Marketplace.
Here's the latest message from movie makers to the people of China. If you buy legal DVDs instead of pirated ones, we'll give you a refrigerator magnet. What was that? I said we'll give you a refrigerator magnet. The Motion Picture Association plans to distribute hundreds of thousands of magnets bearing a message from actor Jackie Chan. It says, thank you for purchasing legitimate DVDs. Your action determines the future of the film industry. Chan says he hopes the magnets will encourage people to tell their children that piracy is wrong.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Duke University's Fuqua School of Business Executive MBA programs, where working professionals earn Duke MBAs from locations around the world. Online at DukeExecutiveMBA.com. By Siemens, from generators that power cities to light bulbs for homes, from factory automation to medical diagnostics. Siemens 70,000 U.S. employees providing solutions for America. And by BNY Mellon Wealth Management, since 1784 helping successful individuals and families protect and maximize wealth. BNY Mellon Wealth Management.com.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
We learned last week that Citigroup would get a badly needed cash infusion, $7.5 billion from the Arab Emirate of Abu Dhabi. But Citigroup is one of the three banks involved in the so-called Superfund. That's the pool of money that would help save the banks from their disastrous investments in mortgage-backed securities. Alan Sloan from Fortune Magazine. If Citigroup can raise a bunch of money on its own, why does it need a Superfund?
Scott, you're just naive. Clearly that's the case. When these companies really have to raise money, they manage to find a way to raise it. I mean, that's the answer. That's what's so amusing about all of this, and also sort of reassuring. It's good to know that there's someone willing to put $7.5 billion into Citigroup.
So does this mean that the Superfund is no longer needed?
By my definition, it was never needed, because the idea of the Superfund is there are all these strange securities that Citi and some of the other big banks have had off the balance sheet, and they supposedly can't sell them for a fair price. So you needed the Superfund to sort things out. Now it's needed less than ever, but I'm sure they'll do it anyway because there's a dollar in it for somebody.
But let's be clear about this. Is this Superfund going to be comprised of taxpayer money?
No. The Superfund would come entirely, theoretically, from other companies. It would not come from the government. But the reason I kept calling it government help is people's heads were being banged together by the Secretary of the Treasury, and the whining about how we can't get a good price out of the markets and that's why we need a super fund. That's what really annoyed me. When you and I want to sell a house and I think it's worth $1 million and the market thinks it's worth 720, no one's going to come and help me because I think the market's crummy.
But if the Superfund isn't comprised of taxpayer money, why do you care if there is a Superfund?
I don't care if there's a Superfund. What offended me was the federal government getting together with a bunch of other people to create a Superfund for the benefit of a handful of organizations like Citigroup that didn't want to deal with the market in what they call their SIBs. But the fact is that this money from Abu Dhabi and all this other money may make the Superfund moot. I suspect it'll be created anyway, but it'll make it moot because Citi's survival would appear to be ensured by its access to money from Abu Dhabi and elsewhere.
All right, Alan Sloan from Fortune Magazine. Thanks as always.
You're welcome, Scott.
In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and enjoy your Monday.
American Public Media. The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.